Please support this unique United Fans podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Good afternoon and welcome to Red News Podcast 269. I'm here with Danny, John and Riaz, and we have just checked into our hotel in Bilbao. We've not come straight here. We set off yesterday and spent last night in Barcelona. No dramas so far on the travels, which is good. All flights on time and everything. We had a bit of a pressured taxi ride last night, having landed at Rush Home in Barcelona. Riaz?
It was. Into a plane in Barcelona, so there was a lot of traffic, and it took an hour in the taxi to go about 10 miles, but we got there. It was okay.
Yeah, but it was the football, wasn't it? We timed it, rush hour and the Barcelona at home.
So. It was painful.
Should have got the metro.
That taxi was painful.
It was uncomfortable.
We saw Trafford Park.
Yeah. But anyway, that was okay. We're here now. I'm looking forward to the game today. Really am. The locals are quite passionate about their team as well.
Yeah, we've just had a couple of 11-year-olds wandering past shouting Athletic Club hooligans.
So we're keeping our heads down.
keeping a low profile. They used to kick me in the shin.
Yeah. And we met a couple at the airport who were similar age, and they were all welcoming. So you're going to have a great time in Bilbao. It's a lovely place, great food, great drink, and they're going to beat us. So let's hope it's a bit of a repeat of the Lyon thing where we saw the fellas say they're going to beat us, and they didn't.
They're always remarkably confident, aren't they, yeah. Any locals that you encounter.
But isn't the guy up front, the striker that's called
Nico Williams?
Sanchez, whatever he's called. He's out, isn't he? Is he back?
What about that Nico Williams? Is he back?
He's available.
Is he?
He was out.
I think they wrecked.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, the biggest thing is their defence is rock solid. That's going to be the key.
What's your thoughts on today? I'm going with a mindset. I said it after Lyon. We just need to get out of here with either a draw or a one-goal deficit.
If we walk out of here like that, we're still in it next week. That'd be brilliant. A draw. Even if we could bore them to death and get a 0-0, we've got to take them back next week.
I'm not sure you can say that after what you saw at Old Trafford against Lyon. All that tells you is we haven't got a clue what could happen at Old Trafford.
The best thing to happen at home is go down and we throw the tactics out the window like we did last time, and then we've got a chance. Then we might score.
I don't think that's a very reliable plan, though. It's fair enough throwing the tactics out a window when you're 2-0 down with 7 minutes to go.
Sideways, sideways, backwards, sideways, sideways, keeper, sideways, sideways, backwards, keeper. You won't score. And if you look at the goals we scored this year, set pieces and
kitchen sink
job. Throw the kitchen sink out, we're in the shit. Anyway, that's just my view on modern possession.
Are we confident though?
No.
I am. I know I've been pessimistic all the way through, but I just think our name's on it because we don't really deserve to be here. We've had such an appalling season. I just think
there is an element of that, isn't there? Your name's on it, especially the last game,
FA Cup, where
it's the hope that kills you.
We threw away a 3-goal lead to Coventry, and as soon as we got through that, I just said we're going to win it. Name on the trophy.
Yeah. There's that element. I'd like to believe you because we'll need it to get in Europe next season, don't we?
We'll discuss that hope later.
What do we know about our team? Because I believe Ahmad's
on the
squad, is he?
Dalit's on the bench as well. Yeah, we haven't got a striker.
How do you know they're on the bench? Haven't they in the team?
They said they'd be in the squad, that's what I'm
right.
Not ready to start.
I can't see them starting, not in a game like this.
No.
I've only been out for 3 months or whatever it is.
Yeah, I've been out for 2.5, hasn't he? So.
Okay, Barney's emailed me, as he's taken to doing, with some subjects for today's pod. There's been a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks with the reissue of the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup kit.
I don't get that, because if it was an anniversary, like a round number, I could understand it. But what's the relevance of this year?
I've told you that they've just re-released the kit.
I get it. Why? It's not 30-year anniversary.
Adidas marketing. No, I don't. money, yeah.
But you normally get a prompt for 25th anniversary.
Then they can do it again. Yeah. That Mitten documentary that's come out. Have you watched that yet?
I haven't, no.
No, it's good. It's, well, it's worth a watch.
Is it on that? What's it on?
It's on YouTube.
YouTube.
Or it's on the United site. There's nothing... Right. You're not going to learn
John,
anything.
It's 34 years, never mind. 20.
You're not going to learn.
I was trying to add it up in my head.
You're not going to learn. There's nothing dramatically new in it, but it's a nice watch, you know. It's a few talking heads and everything from fans at the time and ex players. It's good. What are your memories of that 91?
I was 17. I went on a coach because I couldn't afford to fly. A lot of lads from Glossop and from Broadbourne went on the coach, the longest coach journey of my life, because you had to go down to Dover and across and back up. You know. Never do it nowadays, would we? We just fly. And then when we got there, the coach, I can remember the police getting on saying everywhere's not selling alcohol, nowhere. And then we literally got off the coach, walked in a little bar that was like next to where our coach stops, and got pissed. It was great. And then what else do I remember? Getting wet, singing All Sit Down. He's in the top tier. Mark Hughes' goal, that goal when he took it wide. I mean, he was my favourite player at the time, and that was just sensational.
I thought he took it too far wide.
So did he. But
it was nice.
He passed in. Was it Robbo passed in the ball?
It was against Barcelona after
this is why you've not if you'd have done your research and watched the documentary.
If I should have watched the documentary. I've not seen it for 30 years.
No, it was a brilliant ball.
It was a brilliant I don't know, it was just a time of your life as well where
everything looked possible.
It was just a great trip.
It was my first trip abroad.
It was my first Euro away.
Yeah, it was my first trip abroad watching United. First Euro away, officially, was Wrexham, which was the previous November.
Oh, no, yeah, I meant abroad.
Yeah. The first trip abroad. I went with my old fella and a couple of his mates, and we got a ferry from to Vlissingen. I've got that in my head, Sheerness to Vlissingen. And then we got the train after getting off to Amsterdam. And I remember going past the ground in Rotterdam, if that makes sense. And there were Barcelona fans all outside waving flags at 10 in the morning. And yet we were going to Amsterdam. So got Amsterdam, checked in the hotel. And it was basically a whole day on it in Amsterdam. First time I'd ever been in the Flying Dutchman and all that big United pub in Amsterdam. And then we got the train like quite late. It was probably about 5:30 for an 7:30 kickoff. We got the train from Amsterdam to Rotterdam, back to Rotterdam. And as the train was pulling in, basically pulling into Rotterdam, and Manny, John Squire and Ian Brown spotted them at the end of the carriage. Yeah. So I bowled. They were like my band at the time, 17.
Yeah.
I'd seen them three times, like the three or four times the previous 12, 18 months. I remember Ian Brown had a blue boiler suit on and a skinhead. Like looked completely unrecognisable to what he had like the previous couple of years. And so bowled over talking to them, and then went back to my old fella, and he said, "Who's them lads you're talking to?" I said, "It's the Stone Roses, Dad." And he's like, "Are they?" but that like blew me head off that age 17.
I tell you, you just got me thinking there. We didn't stay, so we must have gone because it was a club trip. It must have just been bus there. We spent the whole day there, and then we must have been bus back straight after the game.
Yeah,
via Dover. We didn't stay over.
I'm saying that the Isle of Sheppey's out of the way for Sheerness. It's down to Kent, all the way down to Kent and the Isle of Sheppey. And then to Vlissingen.
Yeah, where's Vlissingen?
It's right in South Holland.
Is that near Rotterdam? Or
no, right at the bottom of South Holland.
I might be wrong, just on the other side of Skelde. I might have been a different time.
Sheerness to Vlissingen was a ferry route.
Yeah.
I got strip surfed at Sheerness. Get the ferry from Vlissingen.
But I remember getting on the... I remember the...
Why? No, it's another story, though.
I remember it was... getting on the ferry was like touch and go, though, because they weren't officially taking football fans. And I remember that being on the ferry and there's everyone's like in the bar, like sort of eyeing each other up, just like quite surreptitiously. And then the moment the ferry left shore, like lurched into life, the whole bar was like, "We're on the march!" Like literally, the whole.
I mean, it was only 91. May 91, it was only a few years after the ferry incident, so everyone was...
Yeah, but
everyone
it's like 6 years after Heysel and everything, so that was the first year we were back in Europe, wasn't it? But yeah, it was fantastic.
I found the other day, last year, when my mum passed away and I was tidying through stuff in my old room, so there was photographs. We must have took a camera, I don't know, it must be like a disposable one, I don't know, but there's a whole wallet of photographs in there that went through, and brilliant, absolutely brilliant. We were obviously all pissed, but I'll have to show me. Good, really good photos in there. Get Sean Barney, get me famous moment in the mag.
But I remember getting the train back to Amsterdam after the game, and double-decker train it was. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was like something out of the future.
Yeah.
And train gets back into Amsterdam, and they closed the doors of the station. They weren't letting us out, so everyone was on the platform. I remember hundreds of people on this platform, and there was like whistling, "Always look on the bright side of life." But it was that loud, it was like piercing. And then after like, say, 10, 15 minutes, they opened the doors of the station. I remember my dad saying it was like a champagne cork going off, because everyone just like poured out on the streets of the main station in Amsterdam. And then it was like, there weren't many places open, because it was basically like they put it on lockdown because there were so many United going back into Amsterdam. So you had to sort of, I remember us like eventually finding a bar and then just plotting up in there for till God knows what time.
Strangely, when we went back to Rotterdam, just before COVID, I was sat in the same, sat in the same place as I was 25 years before. Did you get wet? I can't remember if it was all covered. We got wet. I remember getting wet.
No, we were underneath the tier.
In the top tier at the opposite end to use his goal.
Yeah, we were in. I was in that behind that goal, but I was underneath it, so we didn't get wet.
I was in like the top tier.
But all right, well, we'll move away from Rotterdam. Barney's asked me, can we all each state our favourite Euro away? John.
What the? Hang about one thing. One that we've been on, our favourite Euro away.
Favourite Euro away of all time.
I don't think you can do that. Did you ask me
last time, favourite Euro away, and I said, there's only one, and you all poo-pooed me. And I went, why is it going to be anything other than 99?
Because it's not just about the game.
All right, it can't be a final one.
No, you don't have to put that on it, but it's just, it's the whole trip, isn't it?
But it's still my favourite.
All right, well, you're allowed
to. Because the journey down was good. You know, we finished up in Lloret de Mar the night before, which was a great night out, and then we finished up in Barcelona, and we had a great day, and the result was perfect, and...
Well, okay, that's a valid answer, John.
Yeah.
I'm not mean to poo-poo your selection. Danny, what's your favourite ever?
Jesus. I don't know. God, they all blend into each other, so mate. What's my favourite? Other than Rotterdam that we've talked about, if I said no finals, a recent one that me and John went on to Paris with, that was great because we didn't expect to win. I like the ones where you don't expect to win, like Leon the other week at home, where you just pull it out of the, you know,
Paris,
pull it out of the city. I wouldn't say that's my favourite, but it's certainly one that just sprang to mind.
That's what I'm asking you for, though.
Well, I don't know, I've not had time to think about it. I've had, it's too many.
Okay.
I did enjoy
Belgrade
was good, John. Because I was with you, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Riaz, your favourite?
Oh, it is the loving that was Cyprus. That was absolutely fantastic. 5 nights away.
Can we have context
weather that was brilliant.
Oh, did play you in it?
We played, what was the team you played?
Omnia.
Omnia
Nicosia.
In Nicosia.
Omnia Nicosia, yeah.
everything about it was great. We stayed there for 5 nights. Weather was cracking. We stayed in a hotel 50 miles away from the ground because Nicosia didn't fancy staying.
Yeah, we stayed in Paphos. Loads of people did.
And to get there, like, there's no trains and buses and stuff, so we thought we were going to hire a car. But we ended up sharing a taxi with another United fan who was in the hotel, so we split that. That was great. On the way back, we were wondering how we were going to get back. I think it was old Paul, wasn't it? He just texted you and said, there's two seats in the bus. Join us. Go back to Paphos. It was just an immense... I can't remember too much about the game, apart from Malasia gave the ball away and Ronaldo didn't run.
It was dark in that ground.
Yeah, especially when you got your shades on, Paul. Yeah. No, that was just... That was just immense.
I'd had my sunglasses on all day because it was red hot. And I genuinely said to Riaz, this is like an half an hour in before... Well, as the game was kicking off, I was like, these floodlights are crap, aren't they? Like genuinely, I wasn't being stupid. Well, I was being stupid, but I wasn't being stupid on purpose. And then like 5 minutes later, I went, it really are dark, these floodlights. It's terrible, this. And then he reminded me that I had my shades on, which...
Was that one of our early forays into the Europa League, or was it Champions League?
No, that was Europa, that. You're not going to get a Cypriot team.
That's what I thought, yeah. Champions so League. It must be one of our first times at Europa League.
I'll tell you what else I enjoyed, and it's not my favourite Euro away, but that one we went to in Covid to Gdansk, and we were just like, the three of us just sat on a beach, and it was just like, that was a great trip. Because how many went? 2,000?
2,000 of us.
2,000 for a final.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Covid. That was bizarre, wasn't it?
No,
there's too many to pick one. Because of all different reasons.
Yeah, but this is you being indecisive. That's the question, to pick one. You can't just... Yeah, it's fun.
I look at Porto 97. I mean, not because it was the result. The result was at the home game, but the trip was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was mayhem getting in.
Yeah, it was
horrible. Oh, God, I've still got my full ticket. We talked about this on the North Pod. I've still got my full ticket. In fact, it was the Porto pod we talked about.
What's yours then, Paul?
I'm going to say Cyprus as well. Because getting back from the game and then thinking, not got. Usually you're like, oh, at what time are we flying home tomorrow? But like to get back, and it was like we were in a 5-star hotel, and it was wet, right? You know, just like 48 hours of maximum rest and recuperation. And it was just so chilled, wasn't it?
So you two basically just want to go on some spa retreat. You don't really want to come to the football, do you?
It sounds all right.
Yeah, that sounds
5 days in a spa retreat. That's what we'll book you next. You might be able to do it next year.
No, we've got a plan.
We've got a plan for next year, but don't say it on the podcast because they'll all be on it, and then we won't be able to do it.
Too late. Everyone will guess. We'll
go on, then we can reveal that our secret next year when we're out.
Our away podcast will be.
Yeah, they've got this harebrained scheme that we do the women's
Champions
League campaign. But it won't happen, but it's an amusing thought.
It'll happen.
No, I think the most amusing thought is what you touched on last night, that we get up on 65 to walk out and everyone will just be like, what? Where are they going?
European Cup final.
Yeah. Like, old habits die hard. We're not getting locked in, we're out of here.
Right, so... fingers crossed we get a result later, and we'll pick this up probably tomorrow back in Barcelona and do a little...
We've got a few hours to kill in Barcelona, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll do a little after-match review, etc.
Hello everyone, we're just going to jump in. It's probably very loud, but we're trying our best to cover that. It's 2:15 kick-off. It's just me and Nick. We're in Nag's Head in town. We thought we'd mix it up a bit. It's been ages since I've been to a pub to watch football, to be fair.
I've forgotten what it's like, and if the music's this loud all the time, then I probably know why I don't hear it.
I got here about an hour ago and luckily grabbed a table, because you would have had no chance now. But Nick did have a go at me for not waiting for him outside work, and I was like, I'm keeping a table.
You've come up trumps, I've got to be honest.
What are your thoughts?
I can't wait. I've been buzzing for this game since Maguire put that one in against Lyon. There's just something about European nights, isn't there, or European evenings, should I say, while the sun's still out. And if you're in a European competition and the sun's not gone down, it's serious business and you just have to be excited. Like, I genuinely can't wait. I know everyone in our WhatsApp group and all the Red News lot, they're convinced that they're making it to the final. How can you not be when you've got a nice beer on a Thursday night, you're in a packed pub, you've got James on, this is a banging tune to be fair, and hopefully we're going to watch 90 minutes of lovely football.
Do you think we're going to watch 90 minutes of lovely football?
No, but I can live in hope, and that's the difference. But I genuinely, I really mean it, I actually cannot wait for this game. I think it'll be a score draw. I'm going 1-1 tonight. They'll score first and we'll come back into it. And I think we'll beat them next week. And I'm just hoping that that Norwegian team, whose name I don't pronounce, beat Spurs and we get them in the final and all the accommodation gets freed up.
Well, we've already got accommodation booked. We've already booked our accommodation. All week we've been looking at different options.
Of course. Thinking about other Reds out there.
Of course.
That's what it is. It's got about thinking about others.
We've been looking at ridiculous flight options. Trains, planes and automobiles. The dream would, for tonight's result, to sort of tip us over the edge in terms of just booking it.
Just sitting in the next head and think, you know what, let's get on Skyscanner, let's get it done now. And I'm all for that. I'm not that confident.
I think it's not going to be easy. I think they're going to be obviously even more up for it because they've essentially got a home final. So
it's, and they're very good.
And they are very
and
good.
And they know that we're beatable. So why wouldn't they be up for it? Videos that we've been seeing online of all the fans in the streets.
But then I think they're also going to know that even if they are a few goals ahead, which we hope they're not, that we are capable of bringing it back. You know, so they will know we've got that in us. So I don't think they'll think it's a walkover, and I hopefully don't think it will be. So
the graphic on the telly worries me. Only 10 goals conceded at home in the league so far this year. We've got a real problem. I'm obviously scoring goals. The one thing that I do like about this team, we were talking today actually at work about people saying, oh, we need this centre half and not that centre half. I think the centre half, barring I know Lindelof starting tonight, and that's his own question, I think that's one of the places on the pitch that I feel quite comfortable with this lot. When everybody's fit, you know, even if you've got Shaw and Martinez that aren't anywhere near the starting 11 just yet, De Ligt probably as well, not one near the starting 11. There's a lot of good players that we've got in there, so
yeah.
You know, defensively I don't feel like we can be that bad, so yeah. Even if you go a goal down,
just need to score,
it's still not over at all.
Yeah. Right, I'll leave it there and then we'll hopefully do a happy one in 2 hours' time. Alright, see you later. Goodbye.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Well, wasn't that a lovely surprise? I don't think anybody in the entire footballing world thought that was going to happen. That first half was, I don't really know how to articulate it, but it was fucking unbelievable.
It was great. I feel like, I'm just going to get this out there early. I feel like, as happy as we are, we've just spent, so what time is it? It's 11 o'clock, so we've spent the last hour trying to work out the best ways of getting to Bilbao, and it's just all very, very expensive. So as much as we're really happy that we're 3-0 up, we're also quite sad because unless I'm taking out a second mortgage, I've not even got a first mortgage, I'm not going. So carry on, Nick.
Well, I just think there's plenty of time left. We'll sort that out. There's always a will and there's always a way, but I think after that first half, I don't think anyone was expecting it. That, I mean, we sat and watched it at the Nags and I don't think there was many people that were actually sat there watching the second half. I think,
well, they started putting the music on in the second half, didn't they?
Put the music on, but I think most people sat there checking Skyscanner, weren't they, trying to find out where flights were going. But hey, look, you know, that's the way that it is. But I think in terms of football wise, what a performance. That was absolutely unbelievable. Red card or not, you know, they were all over.
I think
us,
it was. It was a penalty, therefore it was a red card. I said at the time, I was like, he would have tapped it in, but it's Hoyland, so maybe he wouldn't.
But you know, you've got to be happy with that. That is an absolutely unbelievable one, but it's one of those where you think, well, this United team are capable of anything, aren't they really? At least bring the price down, Skyscanner. We might get beat. You know, they could come back and beat us 5-0 at home. Hopefully they don't. But, you know, very pleased with that. And I just realised that I'm now walking massively in the wrong direction.
You can stand still. It's
okay.
Fine.
I once met Nicky Butt in this corner, actually, on Deansgate.
Where are we? Tell the people.
Well, we're outside Sainsbury's on Deansgate, and speaking to the King of Deansgate, Teddy Sheringham. That's fitting. Straight away.
There's a man pushing some gas canisters down the road in a big cage. So that's what that sound was. Carry on.
Well, Teddy Sheringham, we always said he was the King of Deansgate, but I think tonight, Casemiro was unbelievable, and yeah. I think he needs his own shout-out of the King of Deansgate.
Well, early on in the game, there was it Lindelof who fucked up and they
cleaned up. He cleaned up, didn't he, Casemiro?
Yeah, and he cleared up. And then I said, obviously, the first goal he scored, I know there was a little bit of a touch from Zutugarte, but it was all Maguire who set it up when he was down the wing and stuff like that. And it was like, it's quite poetic that it was one setting up the other and the other setting up the, you know. I know, you know what I mean.
It was really sad though to see from some of the pictures that we've seen from people that were there and stuff online where the end wasn't sold out again. You think for a Europa League semi-final, there's a lot of empty seats out there. And I know it's sold out in terms of tickets sold, but bodies going is a very different count.
It's because people just want to get the credits. That's the problem. Oh, that's what it is.
I've debate that. First there, but yeah. Have you got any creative ways to get to Bilbao? Well, it's sad that, isn't it? I can't believe we're winning 3-0 after the first leg, which nobody thought we would do. And the underlying tone of it all is...
We're quite sad. Everyone else is going to be happy. Yeah. But we're quite sad.
Yeah, maybe we should have put it earlier.
We didn't expect that. We said a draw would be nice tonight.
Oh, if we won 1-1, we would have won 1-1. I thought we'd beat Bournemouth 1-1 at the weekend.
So exactly.
Like,
so
you know,
that's what I mean.
No,
so
I get it.
Right. I'm sure you're going to cut now.
This is.
No, I know, and I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that.
That was brilliant.
Yeah,
it really was. And the fact is,
that first half was.
With the ball in the net 4 times tonight, with that offside goal. It was offside, don't get me wrong. The ball was still in the net 4 times tonight. That's fantastic. Take nothing away from that as a footballing performance was brilliant. And that's what people should really live off.
Yeah.
I know we're a bit miserable because we're probably the outliers here, but if we go to the rest of the podcast, we've got more confidence in Man United.
No, they'll find something to be miserable about as well, won't they?
Got, but, fucking hell, I mean, that is a hell of a result. Even if the guy hadn't been sent off, we still would have been at 2-0. You know, fucking hell, that is some result there.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely really buzzing about that because I've been thinking about this game since Maguire notched in that winner. And There'll be a way.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to pass over to some people who might be a bit happier. They're probably going to be still moaning about something.
They'll left on 70 minutes then, won't they? Useless bastards.
But they'll probably be having some nice wine and some nice cheese. So from us, stood on Deansgate, to them,
to Bilbao,
having pinchos.
God,
goodbye.
Pinchos in Bilbao.
Good morning and welcome to the continuation of Red News Podcast 269. We're back at Bilbao Airport the morning after the night before. We've got a bit of a sort of a Euro dance soundtrack to this one because we're positioned right under a speaker, but it's better than the usual roadworks, I suppose. I think we're all a little bit blown away and just all completely a bit shell-shocked about what happened last night, because it was, what a day yesterday, gents.
Oh, amazing, absolutely amazing. It was a festival of people enjoying themselves all around the streets of the ground. I think because it was a bank holiday it helped as well, Labour Day or something. It was just, you've never seen anything like, the whole city's out partying before the match.
And after.
And after, yeah, they were great, yeah.
It was something else, wasn't it? The atmosphere around
the ground. I don't think I've seen it. Like
it was a genuine carnival going on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's an absolute sea of red and white stripes, and we had a surreal moment where you're literally trying to squeeze through the throng of people. Every man, woman, child, dog was wearing red and white tops, and it was so crowded that we managed to find a table on an outside bar. Sat down there.
That was like an oasis.
It was.
Because we were like,
that
are we going to get a pint here? And there was like this little taco bell, which was empty. and then just inside the door there was they had a woman pulling pints, yeah, weren't there? And as we did that, we turned our head, and there's an empty table with four seats on it.
It was, and that was about, I don't know, 500 metres from the ground, and Bilbao fans, I have nothing but utter respect for them. They were all so friendly towards us. I mean, we stuck out like a sore thumb, but they were just great. And the whole day is just unbelievable. The stadium was unbelievable. The result, none of us could quite... I'm still trying to come to terms with it. I cannot believe we scored three goals in one half of football.
Well, it was three goals in a quarter of an hour, wasn't it?
16 minutes was, wasn't it? And we had one disallowed, hit the bar, hit the post. That's just unreal. But even finished the game, walked out, and this Bilbao fan came up towards me and thought, what's he going to do? He high-fived me and said, best of luck for the final. And that's just what they were like. They were incredible.
It was. I've never come across anything like that. Like what the atmosphere was around the city the day of the game. And as you got closer and closer to the ground, it was just nuts, wasn't it?
Mm. Well, even in the bars and cafes we went into, the people working there were all Bilbao fans. They're all pleasant to us, but they're all saying we're going to win and all this.
It just felt a bit like, need to say it, a proper football club.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Well, we're a proper football club. We're just not. As they're like Spanish Geordies, aren't they? It was mental. But we were saying last night, weren't we? Not, I don't think anyone in that ground could quite believe what we're witnessing. Because I'd be, you know, to a man, we were all like, well, if we can get away with here with just a draw or a single.
It's narrow defeat, but I don't think anyone expected that.
I said earlier, I thought, early on in the pod, I thought we'd lose. So.
But
absolutely amazed.
When we were scoring, the goals are going in, you're looking around at the other fans, and we all look the same, just cannot believe what's going on. Incredulous, that's the word.
There's only the three of us here at the minute, because we've lost Daniel. We think he's gone perfume shopping, which is prone to doing. So I don't know what he's doing. We just need to navigate this home leg, and then we're back here in 3 weeks, gents. And it's looking incredibly prudent of us, John, to have booked these flights to the final last July. Who would have thought it would actually work out?
It never comes off.
Yeah. It never comes off, does it?
Well, booking a hotel would have been good as well, gents.
No, but the hotels were mental then.
Oh, were they?
Even last July, they were ridiculous prices.
Well, I can't believe I got the flights and going out on the Tuesday, but coming back with you lot on the Friday. It's a direct flight. What are you going to do?
That doesn't work.
It's a direct flight to Bilbao back.
That's rubbish.
And incredibly, having predicted rain throughout the day yesterday, didn't rain at all. We didn't get wet.
No.
The minute we've just got in the hotel this morning to come back, heavens have opened, thunder and lightning and everything.
We've been lucky, we've done well.
Yeah.
Yesterday was immense, the food was great, the drink was great, company was good, the weather was fantastic. Well, company was a bit questionable. But
Harry Maguire to new Jerry Daly.
Harry Maguire, what was he doing?
Jerry Daly? All right.
What was he doing? Just, and Casemiro looked immense yesterday. Absolutely immense.
Some speed, isn't
it? Yeah. Should just wheel him out for the Euro games, that's it.
There's not a lot more to add, really. Daniel's looking quietly thoughtful as he walks towards us. He's nosing at everyone else's food. Daniel, have you got any closing remarks for the podcast?
Have you done the podcast? Is that what you're doing now? Closing remarks?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yesterday when we were talking about favourite Euro ways, that first half and leaving the ground, I mean, the second half was a bit of a non-event the way we played, but leaving the ground was just bouncing. The first half, I mean, other than 10 minutes, well, we played it right. We soaked up the pressure for 10 or 20 minutes. They could have scored, should have scored, and then boom, within how many minutes? We're 3-0 up and playing 10 men. It was just incredible.
Didn't know we had played
10 men. Great away end, absolutely superb. Just everything about it, different to the Lyon trip, we probably already talked about it with. Just everything about it was brilliant.
It was,
and we've only been here. We've not even been here 24 hours, and it's just absolutely superb. So,
come back to Bilbao.
And we'll be coming back in 3 weeks, hopefully. Well,
and how many people were falling over themselves, John, when the goals were coming in?
Oh, I've dived 2 rows forward.
Did you?
Yeah, head first. Had the security staff all over me.
I had to pick two people up because there was just
it was mayhem. It was absolutely mayhem.
Brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, so so well, Barney will probably be hosting the one for the podcast for the final, but we might make an appearance. But it's been a pleasure. Any hates of the week on this joyous day, John? Are you going to bring the mood down? You do not start talking about parallel parking or whatever it is.
It wasn't parallel parking.
No, I'm not going
there. I've got one.
Go on.
Knobheads that come through the metal detector there and start getting dressed on the belt while you're waiting for your bag to come out. And there's like 40,000 tables that they can just walk 10 yards, stand, put your shoes on, put your belt on and piss off and let me get my bag.
Right.
Anyway.
Standard airport
only cause gripes. Only because it was like 5 minutes ago and it rattled me.
Okay. I'm keeping the positivity. I'm not bringing any negativity to proceedings today.
No, don't need any.
So,
have you mentioned that we've avoided the rain? It's pouring down.
Said that. Done that. Done
incredible.
That. Already covered
incredible.
That.
Incredible. How lucky we've been.
Bilbao looks fantastic. We've only seen it for about 24 hours. I'm definitely coming back here.
Well, he will be in 19 days.
There you go then.
Okay. So I'm not going to drag it out. Happy days. Glory, glory, Man United. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Red News Podcast 269, I think. I think it's going to be an edition. So it's probably the Brentford edition of 269. I think it's all going to be coming out as one. I think the lads in Bilbao will have done something. So I'm just here with Wazza and Coggy, pre-Brentford away. I thought there was going to be a little bit more of us showing up for it, but so far it just seems like it's just us three. And these two are both on the phone, so it's a nice sociable away day, as you can imagine. I've found us a lovely pub with a beautiful view of the River Thames. Coggy's complained. Photo hopefully might be attached at some stage. Coggy doesn't like the says the view is too bushy and too green for him, but I think I could probably see about 10 centimetres of the River Thames from where we sat. Maybe 20 centimetres of the Thames from where he's sat. He's so mad at me, so beaming. I'm going to go to you first because I know my thoughts and I know Wazza's thoughts from Thursday. So if we talk about that first just quickly, because I know the lads in Bilbao have done about half an hour or so. But what were your thoughts from the first leg on Thursday?
Totally unexpected, obviously. I honestly felt we'd go into that game and we'd lose. I was hoping that we'd narrowly lose, to be honest, but I thought that first half...
You were hoping we would narrowly lose?
No, if we were going to lose, it was only going to be narrow.
All right.
Sorry. but thanks for correcting me there, Nick.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
But after 20 minutes, we got into the game, we created a few chances, and it was 15 minutes of madness, wasn't it? And before you know it, you're 3-0 up at half-time and, you know, one foot in the final. Second half, I wanted us, I'd hoped we'd get a fourth to really put the game to bed. They didn't. But delighted, absolutely delighted. I just didn't expect it. And for once we got a few goals and didn't concede.
Which is always good, isn't it? But I was disappointed that we didn't get the fourth because I thought we would find a way to get that fourth in the second half and really put it to bed. And I made a terrible comparison, which Ben has slagged me off for in the group, which is... This run to the final reminds me a lot of the FA Cup run last year so far. And I know we won it, so that's great. But that quarter-final against Liverpool last year and the quarter-final against Lyon, for me, were very, very similar with that. Being behind in the last-minute comebacks, the Ahmad goal compared to the Maguire goal and all the rest of it. And the semi-final last year against Coventry of being 3-0 up and then, well, without the use of VAR and a toenail being offside, we were out of that. And it would have been City v Coventry in the final. The City would have gone on a run. So... to be 3-0 up for me, everyone's like, well, we're there. I don't feel like we are yet. And I'm not, this United side give me nerves and anxiety beyond belief that I just don't feel like we are yet. That even though I've booked everything for Bilbao, I've now put a £10 bet on Sky Scanners on the brain. I've been on it for days. On Sky Bet that Bilbao are 33-1 to qualify. So I've chucked 10 quid on Bilbao to go through to the next round, because at least if United don't go through, I'll get more than my money back. I'm actually in a better situation that if Bilbao win, that would be the preferred. I'd make money.
Listen, you're entitled to spend your money on whatever you want. I just disagree with betting against United. But anyway, that's a different story altogether.
It's called insurance policy.
Yeah, whatever you call it, I disagree with betting against United.
Made a fortune under Moyes.
I tell you what was pleasing also about Thursday night is De Ligt and Ahmad coming back. And, you know, so that's strengthened the squad a little bit more. Hopefully De Ligt will get enough minutes, you know, so he'll be able to play instead of Lindelof on Thursday night. So I think our defence, in theory, should be that little bit stronger on Thursday night than it was last week. And we haven't got to go out and get a goal, you know. So if we do it properly, then, you know, we should get through. But I agree with you, you know, we're as likely to score three as we are to concede three. That's the United that we watch at the moment.
Oh, more likely to concede three.
Yeah, maybe.
Than score three.
Yeah, but, you know,
which is crazy.
But you know, Bilbao might be shattered by that result. You know, we don't know how confident they're going to come into the game. You know, next week anyway. So
they've got nothing to lose, old Cobb. Yeah, they're just going to throw everything at it, aren't they?
Yeah, but you could argue the same. They did very little. I know they were down to 10 men, but they did very little in the second half. On
They had nothing to lose.
Also,
first 10-15 minutes of that game, yeah, they could have had three goals easily.
Yeah,
fuck off. Could have had three goals easily.
Well, you say they could have had three goals. Our defenders did what defenders are paid to do.
Yeah, but if they batter us, yeah, in the first 15-20 minutes at Old Trafford like they did it, yeah, and they get one goal, then their peck is going to be up, but you just never know.
Yeah,
but the big difference here versus Lyon, to a certain extent, if they get one goal, yeah, it's 3-1 in aggregate. We still haven't got to go and push for that fourth one like we had to against Lyon. You know, we needed the third against Lyon, and then we went. But yeah, I can't argue a case where I'm totally confident United, you know, aren't capable of losing 3-0, because we are. But I just feel that we've got enough in the locker to be able to get through.
Like I said to you on the way down here, Coggy, I'd be well happy if we just went for a boring 0-0 fucking draw.
Yeah.
Just absolutely shit stink the place out.
Yeah.
Just suck it up and 0-0, jobs are good enough, and fucking go to Bilbao.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about not getting the ferry this time? Because, I mean, obviously you went to San Sebastian very famously on the ferry. So to go back to the Bass region again.
I didn't think it was going to be very famous when I booked it. It was like the last minute I got a... So the story, I was working in Middlesbrough at the time, right, and I got a call off United I think it was the Thursday before the game, and I was just like, yeah, I'll have the ticket, no problem, you know, I'll have the ticket. And then I thought, I'll worry about getting there afterwards, and I was looking at flights, and it was like fucking mad money, and I found this ferry for like 200-300 quid. I thought, that'll do for me, like, you know. Then all of a sudden it's in Red News as a fucking article, and every fucker's recognising
it. Two-page spread, I remember.
People are like, I remember I was in the Rain Bar after a game a couple of weeks later, and Danny was going, oh, I read that piece about that fucking idiot that got that fucking ferry all the way down there. I was like, yeah, that was me, mate.
Yeah, but you know, you're renowned for this. What about the cup final where you got the train back to Leeds? You arrived at Leeds about 2 o'clock in the morning, got your sister to come and pick you up or something.
Yeah, but that was standard for me at that point, wasn't it, Coggy? That wasn't a surprise. Not, you know,
I left me in the middle of London on my own.
Did he?
Yeah, to go back.
I'd done a 3-day trip to Moscow with some bizarre route as well before then, but I don't know. Maybe selling a mag, maybe famous. I don't have a fucking clue. But yeah, it was crazy. That and. I'd like to avoid that ferry at all costs.
I think Bilbao was when I met you. San Sebastian was when we first met up. Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
That was how nice. You look fucked, by the way.
I was.
And it's going to be like a nice little fitting end.
Yeah.
To it. Hopefully a bookend.
It was romantic.
The final. Right, okay. And Brentford today, any thoughts? You've seen the team. Obviously, as you say, Dillett's in there now. Hopefully he can get some minutes and he can maybe replace Lindelof on Thursday next week. So any thoughts on today with all the kids basically being out there now seeing the team?
I know I'm going to sound a bit of a Jonah, but yeah, I don't expect anything from today, apart from, like you say, minutes in for De Ligt, some of the kids coming in, bit of passion and everything. But Brentford are a useful team, aren't they? You know, so you know, again, I'd be absolutely delighted if we come away with a draw here or a victory. But listen, it's all about Thursday, let's be honest about it. Sad reflection of where we are at the moment, but it's all about Thursday night.
Yeah, got to keep everybody fit, haven't we? And it'd be nice to see Chido get a start.
Yeah.
It's his first start, is it? That's always nice, isn't it, really? Hopefully he can get a nice little bit of a run out. But like you say, I don't really feel particularly confident. I don't know.
I don't think anyone's asked Adibal, to be fair.
If we got beat 3-0 today, it wouldn't bother me at all.
We're having a good day out. 90 minutes.
Lovely view of the Thames.
Well,
yeah.
Who cares what the result is? It's all about Thursday night and getting to Bilbao.
I'd be pissed off if we lost 3-0. I'd be pissed off if we get hammered. I mean, I don't expect us to win. It's likely we'll lose, but I don't want to see us get hammered, because even though it's, you know, there's a lot of kids in there and whatever, it's still good for them to put in a good performance and come away, rather than get hammered. But they're a good team, yeah. So I don't want us to get hammered, but it's not the most important of games, is it? You know, because of Thursday nights.
Yeah, definitely don't want to get hammered if Dalit's starting anyway. You want to get some
It's quite evident it's not an important game because the squad is poor. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit. Yeah. It's all Thursday night and that is it.
How exciting.
I would have liked to have seen Hoyland play though, because he scored on Thursday night, and I think he could do with a goal to boost his confidence, and he could have got one tonight. He did.
He got the penalty.
He scored the game before.
We would deliberate all day if he was ever going to score the chance.
He scored the game before.
Do you know something? It's probably not a bad thing to rest him, because I understand what you're saying about confidence and getting a goal. If you look at that team, we may not even give him a chance. So I've got no issues with him being rested, to be honest.
We'll carry on these and we'll have a quick chat afterwards, because we've done.
Do you want to tell the people about that fantastic accommodation that you booked for Bilbao?
Well, this is... Yeah.
We're going to be ill.
We're either going to be bitten to death or murdered, judging by the pictures that I've seen.
But they have booked a hostel that's like £3 a night. And now they're complaining because there's bloodstains on the wall.
It's a Michael Jackson lyric close in there somewhere. I'll let you pick that one. But I'm not that bothered about it. You're more bothered about it that you're now trying to rearrange our entire plans.
Because I was at work and I got about 200 messages in the WhatsApp group, and then I got a single message off Nathan saying, "I've got some accommodation. Do you want in?" And I was like, "Yes, I do," because I've not had a chance to look myself. So yeah, I want in. So I've booked in, and then last night I was my daughter had gone to my mum's house. She was staying there, so I had a bit of free time. And I just said to Nathan, I said, "What's this accommodation we've booked in Bilbao?" And he says it's like Hostel Bilbao. And I looked on the TripAdvisor, and there's like bloodstained sheets and fucking cockroaches on the wall and shit on the reviews. I'm like, oh my God.
Have you too upset Nathan? Because he's booked that, but then he may not go himself. Do you think he stitched you up deliberately?
He's definitely stitched us up.
I think he's pulled the whole mother of fucking stitch ups there. Put the shittest hotel.
And he's supposed to be your best mate.
On the flip side, though, at the moment, the main reason for Nathan not travelling is because he's terrified he won't get a ticket. So the major thing really is listening out is, if there is a spare going round, think about Nathan. He's sold every single home game so far this year, bar one.
If not thousands of people going there without a ticket.
I don't know.
If there's a spare one floating about, he knows enough people, he's going to get one, isn't he?
I think the thing is, though, is that of all people that I can think of this season that deserves one in terms of the graft, I mean, over the last decade, in terms of what Nathan has put into United and put into Red News, he deserves a ticket more than most people I can personally think of.
Let's be honest about it. Come 6:30 on the night of the game, Barney will be that pissed, he'll say, "I'm staying in the pub, you can have my ticket."
There'll be loads of people doing that, Coggy, won't there?
So, we'll see. But
he's
got to
be there
to
benefit from that
situation. If you've got one and you're not going, or you know someone that's not going, that would be definitely very much appreciated for it. On another side tangent, the campaign's still going for the mag at the moment. I'm not sure what the total number is. I'm sure Barney might add it, hopefully, in the little description for the podcast, but it's still up for renewal at the moment, so please make sure that you subscribe. It's obviously very, very important to United fan culture and the rest of it, and it means that we can chat bollocks in the pub. That's the most important thing about it. So, anyway, we'll do a very quick bit afterwards because we've done 12 and a half minutes. So,
128 contributions.
There's
128 contributions on the crowdfunder.
425 is the magic number.
425 is the magic
88
number.
88 days
so
are still
left. Still 300 away from, just shy of 300, 297 if my math is correct.
Yeah. So 300. We want to keep going. We've got to hit that 40 years. Obviously, Barney's just done
88 days left on this.
38 years?
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway. Right, okay. Right. To the regiment and glory, glory, Man United. And yeah, hopefully we'll be talking to you after United haven't been disgraced at Brentford. Right, it's after the game of Brentford. That was the most, I don't really know how to describe it, maybe the most dullest 4-3-7 goal thriller I think I've ever seen. Coggy made a very good point afterwards by saying, was it a dull 4-3 game, 7-goal thriller, because it meant nothing? And the answer is yes. That's exactly why it was a bit dull. Felt like a friendly game. I don't think anyone expected anything different. It was nice to go a goal up and think, oh, this is nice. Mason Mount scored. Maybe we're going to find a resurgence. He always scores at Brentford. And then it just sort of fell apart pretty quickly and came at us. And before you know it, you're losing 4-1. But it's nice to see Lindelof come on with 15 minutes to go and change the game and has suddenly scored two goals and get it back, I guess. But I suppose that was pretty uneventful. Coggy predicted a draw. Me and Walter thought we'd get beat, and lo and behold, we got beat. So what are the thoughts, boys? I'm still with Wazza and Coggy in the car. We're on the way back. We just stopped off at a very expensive service station. I've got to admit, Coggy, it was pretty pricey, that. I would have thought you would know the West Midlands pretty well. And apparently not. Discuss.
They're just rip-off merchants, aren't they? That's all I can say about
it. I've never been a fan of anyone from the West Midlands. My entire thesis is based on just my friendship with you alone. What are your thoughts?
I agree, to be honest.
What are your thoughts on the game today and Brentford as a whole?
Well, my thoughts on the game today were summed up by United fans singing about Bilbo for most of the game. I think the game was secondary. I thought we got a couple of nice goals. The first goal was nice move. Garnacho's goal was good as well. But yeah, sadly, you know, I think for me the inevitable happened, and you know, we were more important singing about going to Bilbao. What I would say though, and I think it, with the exception of one or two players, this sums up our apathy towards the squad. We sang about every player from 25 years ago, and I don't think we sang once about a player who's in the squad now. And we've got no songs, have we, really, for modern day players? You know, we've got Garnacho's, which is a, you know, the regurgitation of the Ronaldo one. We've got one for Bruno. We don't have many songs for modern day players now. Is it because we don't rate them as much, or is it because we haven't got the songsters to create them?
I think it's both, isn't it, really? Let's be honest. And I think it's quite apparent that even Johnny Evans, as well as Garnacho, are getting rehashes of old legends. And it's sad. And it's, you know, don't get me wrong, I've got no issue singing about Wesley Brown or Yap Stam, Andy Cole. You know, they're all some of my favourite players that I've ever seen. But I agree. I think, you know, there's a lack of intuitiveness from modern day United fans, and you know, youngsters to come in, there's not really that sort of people that are trying to create the songs. And I think the problem is, though, these days, is that tickets are falling into the wrong hands as well, which doesn't help, and that doesn't make it easier to create new songs, does it? But you know, the atmosphere amongst the United fans again today was excellent. We've got the best support in the country. Brentford and their home support is possibly the worst I've ever seen. Got to be up there. I mean, that's at all levels of football. I mean, obviously, you've heard me and Nathan following West Disby and Chalk around in tier 9. I've seen home fans in tier 9 be better than Brentford fans today. They might as well have not been there. I mean, it's the most politest I've ever seen a team cheer 4 goals ever. And yeah, it's the most polite applause ever at the full time whistle. So it's a middle class football club. Mr. Worrell, what are your thoughts on what has been quite a lovely little trip?
Yeah, decent day out. I think you're quite right there. The Brentford fans were fucking terrible. And I looked across at a few of them, and they just looked like they were just in absolute bewilderment at the United fans singing their hearts out, being 4-1 down. Yeah. And they just couldn't quite believe what they were watching, to be fair. So, yeah, it's a nice little ground, no, nice little area. We had a few nice beers before, haven't
we? Lovely view of the Thames.
So, yeah, sort of, yeah.
No, but I tell you
and
what.
Before the game, I actually commented to Coggy that we'd gone into a pub there, which was, what, a stone's throw away from the ground. Everyone very friendly. You don't usually get that on an away day. You're usually hiding in a pub a few miles away from the ground, but there was quite a friendly atmosphere in the pub before. And
even the stewards, you know, the stewards were very friendly.
Yeah.
Everyone was really friendly on the way in as well. It's very rare to get that, isn't it? And be treated like that as an away fan, and treated, I would probably say, as a human being, to be fair, today.
Yeah,
to
we're just not used to that.
Which is quite, that's my first time at that new Brentford Stadium today, and I've got to say, I've got no complaints with that, other than the result, really. So
yeah, just to echo what Wazza said about the pub beforehand, I thought it was great. view was shit, but the actual people in there were great. And we were talking to a few on the way out, and you know, they said, you know, Brentford are playing beyond their expectations. You know, they nearly went bust, and he said it's great to be, you know, in the Premier League doing so well and mixing with other fans. And then he said that, you know, we last time City came, he said we chatted to some of them, and they're really nice. And I just said, you're a fucking wanker. City fans aren't nice. And we walked off.
And they're also liars as well. I've got to say, Coggy's come up absolute trumps with the car park, by the way. That needs a special mention, because we've got out immediately. I mean, it must have been from our seat to your car, must have been about, well, less than a 5 minute walk, definitely. Straight in the car, straight out. And I mean, we're already past Birmingham. I mean, you can't beat that, can you, really? Anyone impress you on the pitch today? Was there anyone that you thought, you know, they played all right, or anyone you thought was a bit crap? Or
I thought Garnacho did well. I think there's been a slight change in Garnacho the last four or five games. I think he's tried beating players a bit more. He was always looking for the ball today. He was coming inside to get it. So I thought Garnacho had a decent game. And I like Fredrickson. I know he was... I don't know whether he was guilty for that one of their goal on the back post or not, but I like him. I think he's comfortable on the ball. He, you know, he gets stuck in. He's a good lad, and you know, for a kid, I quite like Fredrickson.
If he was guilty for the goal or not, he's a young lad, isn't he? Yeah, you know, yeah, you've got to expect that.
So they're the two for me that would probably stand out. Chido worked hard again. He was, you know, we're going about Hoyland not performing and not scoring goals. Chido was a classic example. We don't create chances for them, do we?
No.
You know, and
oh, no.
but he was closing them down. He was getting stuck in and that. But we just do not create chances for our centre forwards. But yeah, I'm glad we didn't get hammered. I know we were 4-1 down, and you know, we managed to get back to 4-3. So the result looks a lot better than probably what it was. But I'm just glad we didn't get hammered.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, as you said about Garnacho, I think he's been showing more drive, hasn't he, in the last few games to get on.
He's got a goal, to be fair.
Yeah, his goal today was brilliant. Yeah, fair play to him. I can't comment too much on Fredrickson in the second half, because I felt like I couldn't really see as much. He might have been culpable for one of the goals. I need to watch it back. But I thought in the first half, I mean, he certainly wasn't culpable. I didn't feel like he was culpable for their first two goals that they scored in the first half. But he looked so assured, and I mean, I'm not saying he's going to make it at United, but if he doesn't make it to a decent standard of football, then we might as well all pack it all in, because he genuinely, I think, from what I've seen of him in the two games that I've seen of him so far, after I have seen one or two youth academy games, but you can't really judge it at that level. But I do think he looks like a very assured footballer, that if he should be a Premier League defender at some level, you know, whether it's, say, it's at us or it's another Elanga type, goes to Forest and excels or whatever. But he looks like he knows what he's doing. He looks like he knows how to play a game. I was impressed from what I saw of him, certainly in the first 45 minutes, because he was right in front of us, basically. But your point on Chido is absolutely nailed on, because we don't create chances for him. And you know, I do have some sympathy for Hoyland, and at the same time, I think that he shouldn't be sat there scrapping with centre forwards 40 yards from goal when he doesn't need to be.
He's still talking,
but I'm trying to wrap it up here, you know. But anyway, I was going to ask everyone for hates of the week, but I feel like it's going to be me, because I brought this out. So I'm not going to ask either of you what your hates of the week was. No, I will. As long as it's not me, then.
You're going to have to give us a few minutes to think about it.
What about Coggy's packed lunch? Been a fan of Coggy's corned beef, brown sauce.
That is not a hate of the week by any stretch.
No, no, but it's been a combination.
Highlight of the trip.
I just want to say, right, it was like having two kids with me today. I did them a little picnic, you know, even with some chocolate bars. You know, I've driven them all the way down here. I'm driving them all the way back. Within a few minutes, they're going to say, oh, Coggy, can you not drop us off like 15 minutes from home? Can you take us to a pub 20 minutes away from where we live?
Wait a minute. Did Coggy ask us to call him Daddy before?
I have two hates of today. The first one was Coggy asking us to call him Daddy earlier on. Definitely a hate of the day. And the second one is that we've been in your car now for... I mean, you picked us up at fucking before 8 o'clock this morning. It's now 6:30, and
we've had no Chloe's Wafer Rolls, and this podcast is unofficially sponsored by Chloe's Wafer Rolls, and there has been none. We've been replaced by Caramel Kit Kats, which I have to say are excellent. Sorry, Shane, apologies, but they've done a job. They've done a job today. So
I purposely went out and bought you Kit Kats.
You should be very happy. I'm grateful of everything that you've done for us today. That's not the point.
You should be very happy that Michael is a considerate person.
Nobody calls you Michael. Leave that there. We'll leave that there, Daddy. And on that note, I'm going to leave that there because this one's probably too long. We've done 10 minutes now.
Can I finish it off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just like to finish off with follow, follow, follow. Because United are going to Bilbao. There'll be thousands of Reds. We'll be pissed off the Reds. Because United are going to Bilbao.
There you go. Hopefully, we don't get beat on Thursday. But a hot tip, hopefully this podcast will be coming before Thursday. Our insurance policy, just to extend it.
Welsh Wolves done the same.
We've seen that Bilbao on Sky Bet were 33-1 to qualify. So Wazza and I both stuck a tenner on it, thinking, well, we'll get £330 back each or whatever it is. If we don't get to Bilbao, because let's be honest, as I said earlier, my worry is that this is like the Coventry City game of last year. We were 3-0 up in that, and you know, we could easily throw this away. Then at least let's ensure that we all get our money back. So there's a hot tip for you, Red News crew. Don't say we don't look after you. Thanks very much to the regiment, and we'll see you on Thursday. Support the campaign.
Good afternoon. It's Ben and Zayden again at the very very nice newish, can I still say newish, GTEx Community Stadium here in Brentford. Weather is supposed to said on the weather app there, it's supposed to be nice and sunny here. It's been nothing but dull and windy. But hopefully our football is far from dull and windy today. Zayden, how are you feeling about today?
Good.
Good. You're confident?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your score prediction today?
2-1.
And surprised, I'm really surprised Garnacho is playing, but Garnacho is playing, so I'm assuming he'll be your first goal scorer today, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Silly question to ask. Buzzing about Obi, aren't we?
Yeah,
we've seen enough of him and enough of him through the season, through the under-21s and that, and hopefully he will go on and score today, I'm hoping. Big performance for him today, I think. You never know, because he can play himself into contention for next season, because unfortunately we can't register him for Europa League. Buzzing that we've seen Amas and Fredrickson as well again. Both, as we've seen before, work phenomenally well together. Luke Shaw's the captain today. Needs minutes in his legs. Same with De Ligt, I feel. Same with Mount and Mainu. They need minutes in the legs. So I'm not surprised to see them start, to be fair. I'm with my friend Woody. Woody, simple question to start off with, mate. How's United mojo on and off the field? Not just on the field, but off the field as well. Things. How have you found things this season?
Very difficult. Very mixed emotions. One week we're up, next week we're down, and it's really frustrating.
Oh, mate, tell me about it. And in terms of the team on the pitch, though, for this season, you know, has there been any standout performance for you? Here's a question I asked somebody on the last podcast. Was like, you used to, I know the list would be quite short and the names won't be as varied as you'd probably like, but if I was to ask you to pick a United player of the year, who would you be? Who would that be, sorry?
Honestly, I think it'd be Casemiro. I think his performance against Lyon was absolutely superb. He was just imperious.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought he was going to say Bruno like everybody else has done. But that's a little bit, I'll tell you what, that's a little bit different, you know. And to be fair to Casemiro, he has come into his own the second half of the season. He's been a lot better, especially in Europe anyway. I think he's a class above in Europe, where I think the football suits him as well, European football. But that's honestly, that I was expecting you to go Bruno like everybody else has done. I like you. That's why I like talking to you. In terms of today, though, you've seen the team and that. What do you make of it?
I'm over the moon. I think it's a great opportunity for some of our young lads to get out there. I'm really interested to see how Obi does with a start.
And obviously, Amason Fredrickson again playing. How did you feel they fared the first time you've seen them play together?
I thought they were fantastic. I think the future for United in defence is rock solid. When you look at Dorgu, Amas, Fredrickson, Heaven, they're all young lads that look calm and composed.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Fredrickson. I think I've said before, I think he's the best defensive player we have in the academy. So hopefully he kicks on and he does well. How are you finding things up in the second tier of Stretford End now? Are things now calmed down, or we've still got issues there with the security and the lack of care that has been attributed to quite a few of the problems up there this season? Have you found there's been a bit of a difference, or is it still, bad?
Honestly, I think we've reached a plateau of bad and we're just sort of staying there now. The stewards do not interact like they used to. I don't feel like I can trust them in an emergency like I used to. I'm hoping that the club do something in conjunction with Mudsud to just get people who understand us disabled fans and not just kids who are there for a free ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to end this on a score prediction. What score are we going for today, Woody?
I'm going to go 2-2 today.
2-2, I like that. Zane's gone 2-1 and you've gone 2-0. I like that. Thank you, Woody.
No probs.
Well, we're back home now. Apologies, we didn't do it after the match like we usually do. It's a bit hectic. We had to. There's only one lift working, and it's one at a time. It only takes one wheelchair at a time. So we had to go back for the coach. So we didn't want to be too late. But we thought it gives us a little bit of time to reflect. Obviously, Brentford 4, Manchester United 3 at full time. Lessons to be learnt, really, for I think some of the younger players. That's they need games like that, to be fair, to learn the game of football, because you don't learn things when everything goes swimmingly well and winning games of football. You learn things when you make mistakes and you have a bit of a tough time and maybe even lose the game. On the whole, I think Fredrickson did all right, but you could just tell that, especially with Brentford, they have some units in that team some of these young lads, they're still developing physically as well as developing their game of football and everything, developing their understanding of the game. They're developing physically. And the only way they could do it is to play men's football week in, week out. Wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them maybe go out on loan next season. Hopefully, League One, Championship area, where you're playing up against bigger guys week in, week out. So they get used to that physicality. If they're not to be in and around the first team. You like Garnacho's goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great goal, wasn't it? There's a few positives there. Mason Mount scoring again. That's the second time he scored against Brentford. Obviously, he scored last season away from home as well. It's Brentford. Now, I see him on the goal scoring sheet. Garnacho's goal was brilliant. Ahmad also getting a goal there as well, which is good to see Ahmad back on the field, back scoring goals and that, because we need him. He's a hell of a player, hell of a player. So I'm glad he's back. Disappointed about De Ligt. I think that's probably put paid to his season now, depending on how serious it is. And I was going to end on this anyway, because I don't want to drag it on. I said to Barney, I'll keep it short and sweet, and obviously it's gone over 10 minutes again. But I'm just going to end it by saying the absolute biggest positive was the United Way support today. Yet again, absolutely top notch. Went 4-1 down. They went 4-1 ahead, and there was and I timed it because I was actually recording it on my phone. Actually, just got lost in the moment, and it ended up being like over 10 minutes non-stop. Follow, because United are going to Bilbao for 10 minutes straight. You know, nothing against Brentford, really, but their support is absolutely bobbins. Do you know what I mean? I didn't even hear him sing once. The only time you heard him was when they cheered 4 goals. That was it. There was not much singing at all from him. Absolutely top notch from United fans again. Big match on Thursday, Athletic Club Bilbao. Knowing Manchester United, we will make it fucking hard for ourselves, because that's the United way of doing things. We can never do it simple. They're going to come out, they've got nothing to lose. They're going to come out and play, hopefully, because they're going to have to come out and find the goal. It'll leave space in behind them for your likes, your Garnachos, for your Amads, for Hoyland, hopefully, as well. A little bit of pace, you get in behind. Pretty quickly, what do you think? I know Barney's going to probably ask you for the actual pod on Thursday, but because this is going to be like a little bit of a preview anyway, what do you think the score's going to be Thursday night?
2-0.
2-0 United?
Yeah.
We'll go through comfortably then. That'll be 5-0 on aggregate then, won't it? So, anyway, onwards and upwards. Roll on Thursday night and come on, United. Oh, and before I forget, the sub-campaign is still going on. Last I saw, it was 122 subscribers that have signed up to save Red News for next season. We need, the magic number is 425. If anybody would like to help us keep going, help Red News keep going, please check out the social media. Check out X, Barney's and myself as well. Check out all our profiles. We've got the links there to be able to do that online. So please help one of the oldest fans, if not the oldest football fans in world football, going. Thank you very much. Glory, glory, Man United, to the regiment, and roll on Thursday night.